Thanks for tuning in to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. May the message be a blessing to you.
I want to talk about faithfulness. We've sung about God's faithfulness, but faithfulness is a two-way street. God wants us to be faithful. His faithfulness is part of His character. We read about it throughout both the Old and New Testament over in Psalm 86:15. It says, "But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." I like that, abounding in love and faithfulness, just an unlimited supply. Psalm 89:8. "O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you." Lamentations 3:23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And that's part of the reason that song we just sang was written, that scripture verse. And 1 Corinthians 1:9, "God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful." And we could sit here and have a testimony service, and I'm sure stay busy for the next half hour as people shared how God has been faithful to them. But we need to realize He demonstrates that faithfulness in lots of different ways. First of all, by saving us. By saving us. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." I don't know all the new staff. I trust everybody in this room has come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Going to church doesn't doing that. Christian parents doesn't do that. It's a personal relationship with Him. I remember my own experience. I've been in more church services than most of you will be in your lifetime by the time I turned 8. At age 2, my dad went into evangelism, and so we traveled with him. I have pictures of our trailer he bought parked by little country churches where he preached twice a day, and then we moved on to the next one and did it again and the next one, and then after that it was in summers. But it wasn't until I was 8 years old and really understood my own sin and my own need for salvation that I made that decision. And I'd be not doing my duty to say if that hasn't happened in your life, it needs to. His faithfulness is what saves us. In keeping His promises, Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold unanswerably to the hope we profess, for He who has promised is faithful." I was talking to someone going into medical missions just recently, and their great concern to me was, "I don't think I can raise my support." And I looked at them and smiled and said, "I don't know anyone who God has called that He's not supplied their needs, including raising their support." And especially, he was a physician. I said, especially for healthcare professionals, people understand the needs. But to personalize that whole idea, calling that God, I hope, has called every one of you here. If you're here because you have a job, you're in the wrong place. I mean, it's nice to have a job, not to get a paycheck. But the thing that sustains you is not the fact that you've got a salary or you're doing something you like to do, or it's a nice building and you got a 4-day work week. You could go down the list. It's a pretty good deal. Great parties. But the bottom line is God called you. Because His faithfulness shows up in the workplace and your ministry and everything, because you're here because He placed you here. And that's important to revisit that call as necessary. I remember in my 25 years here, there were times that we were struggling, we had financial issues, we had all sorts of problems, and it's easy to get discouraged until you go back and say, God has called me here. This is what He wants me to do. God protects us from Satan, and He says He's faithful to do that. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, "But the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. There's personal temptations, and all of us, even after we know Christ, those things come. Money, power, lust, and all areas of temptation. Some of you new folks may wonder why we have glass in all the doors. That was Gene's idea when we built this building. Why? Because it decreased temptation when people can see into your office. I'm sure we still have the policy we put in place where if we travel, we don't travel alone with someone of the opposite sex unless the spouse gives permission. We're trying to make sure that we keep you from temptation and try to be faithful in that as in the leadership. But it can come in other ways. And I've experienced some of those. A new offer. I remember when I knew God was called us into missionary medicine, and I'd finished my residency, and then all this recruitment came in. I was chief resident. I was a target on everybody's list, and people kept coming to me, promising me jobs and money, and the office is already built, and we'll guarantee your salary, and all those type of things. It was tempting. It was tempting. The next step was for us to go out and raise our own support. And so the devil will come in a lot of different ways, and they're not always bad ways. It's not any matter of turning your back on God. It's a matter of settling for second best, and the devil is very good at that. It is easy to try to justify in your own mind taking the easy way when God may be asking you to do something a little bit more difficult. But staying in his presence, claiming a scripture, revisiting your call helps you deal with that. God asks us to love him and obey his commands, Deuteronomy 7:9. Now therefore, know that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations for those who love him and keep his commandment. I remember when my dad was called into evangelism. I mentioned that before. And those days were difficult, supporting the family. But he, I remember him telling me, David, I knew God had called me. I knew God was present with us. I knew God would supply. But the point I want to make is that faithfulness that my parents had, the Bible says our faithfulness is passed down to future generations. Your faithfulness is passed down to future generations, to your children's children. And I wrote two books since I left CMDA. And our life stories, Dave and Jody Stevens on StoryWorth. Why did I take a year to do that? Because I want to pass down to my kids and grandkids and great grandkids, which I may never meet, the story of God's faithfulness, because God has promised that he will go through the generations, and we need to do our part to do that. What you're doing now is not just affecting your children, it's affecting generations. Your faithfulness makes a huge difference, and God says he will do that if we are faithful. And it tells us we need to serve him with all our heart because he's faithful. 1 Samuel 12:24, but be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with your heart. Consider what great things he's done for you. And that's here at work, it's in the community, it's at your church, and it's doing above and beyond just what's expected. I had some great examples of that in my life. Jody's dad was a professor at Asbury. But he was involved in everything because he wanted to be faithful in all the realms that he was touching. He was mayor of the town. He pastored some country churches while still teaching full-time and going to school to get his doctorate. He loved students. If there was a student retreat or something, he was there cooking. He was reaching out. He's building relationships. He was touching lives. And it was serving God with all his talents and all his heart. It's easy, especially, I think, in a Christian organization where you're here serving the Lord every day, to say, well, I've done enough. But God is looking at us. Where can we be more faithful and reach out to others? Be faithful, 2 Samuel 22:26. To be faithful, you show yourself faithful. And doing that, people are watching us. It's unbelievable how that happens. People know where you work, so they may know what you do or where you go to church, and they're watching your actions and your attitudes and the things you say and the things you do. And God wants us to show ourselves faithful. He wants us to hate evil. Psalm 97:10. Let those who love the Lord hate evil. Mike was just talking about going up with Jeff, and the Supreme Court brought back memories when we had our first case when I was here that went to the Supreme Court. And getting into bioethics back in the early days of CMDA, and the key thing of loving the sinner and hating the sin, speaking the truth in love, showing that you cared for people, and yet still speaking the truth, loving the individuals that disagree with you, loving the people that are killing babies, loving the people that are helping people euthanize themselves, at the same time expressing your opposition to what they're doing. So hating evil is important. And you don't have to do that at the national level. It can be in our own communities and things that are going on here or in your own neighborhood, that we need to stand up and fight evil, at the same time love those who may be involved in it. We need to demonstrate by faithfulness by serving others. 1 Peter 4:10, each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. And, you know, you serve others every day. You can do it wherever you go. When I've been to the pharmacy more times in the last 3 months than I think in the last 15 years. Every time I turn around, I know the pharmacist by name. They know me. They know I, two of them, one of them supports UK basketball. We're best of friends. But it's an opportunity. I don't know all the other staff in there, but when I walk in getting a prescription, I'll say, how's your day going? How's it been? Or something to show kindness and concern about what people you're doing. We were doing that. We went to had some doctor's appointment and stopped a little diner out towards the hospital and went in and just started talking to the waitress and, you know, how's your day going and that type of thing. And then said, well, are you from around here? No, I lived all over the place. How's that? Well, my dad was planting churches. Never imagined that with my waitress. And we started talking, and she found out we've been missionaries and, you know, all this type of thing. And then I asked about her kids and just, How can we serve her, encourage her, and all the rest of it? And then I went up to pay my bill, an older man behind the cash register, and made some comments, and I said, you know, you really got nice waitresses. He says, I hope so. They're all my daughters. So he was the church planner. So it was interesting. But giving grace, giving unmerited favor, to people that you meet, joy, appreciation, find out about needs and pray for them and minister to people. Wherever we go, whatever we could do, we can do that every day. It just takes a few moments and show kindness. One of the ladies at pharmacy, I said, boy, you look a little tired. Have you had a rough day? She says, well, it's been okay, but, you know, just 20 minutes, I'm out of here. And I'm looking forward to a good evening. And I said, well, thank you for what you're doing. How can you serve others? Maybe with gifts, maybe with encouragement, maybe in other ways, to our neighbors or whatever. Gene and I, probably, it's been a few months ago, I was walking. I walk every day, as you know, and over on Ashwood, I walk down there, and there's two bags of something laying on our road. So on the way back, I went over to pick them up and realized it was parts of a butchered deer somebody had thrown. Now, I could have taken the plastic bags and thrown them up in the woods, and they would have rotted, but Gene and I went down, took that, emptied them out, got rid of them, put them in a proper place to do that. Just wait, nobody needed to know that, but just how can we serve others? Walking in the truth, 3 John 1:3. If it gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell me about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. And that goes right along to what we've already talked about, spreading the gospel, obeying God, enduring. Revelations 2:10, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you a crown of life. You know, a lot of things God asks us to do are just endurance. There's heavy workloads. It's not easy. There's hard times or maybe financial issues. It's interesting, this last week, music file on my computer, I saw something and it said Dave Stevens, and I thought, what is that? I have a whole bunch of stuff on there, so I clicked on it, and it was a digitization of a audio cassette tape that we sent our parents the first week we arrived in Kenya. And so I listened to it. I had a lot of things I'd forgotten. But anyway, at the end, I had to chuckle because Jody was talking and part of it, and she said, well, Dave's going to be gone for the next 4 days. We had just gotten there 3 days before. David's going to be gone for the next 4 days because they've asked him to man the hospital. All the other doctors are going to be gone. Here I am, fresh out of my residency, 4 days, day and night, with 200 patients. I don't even remember it. But I thought, man, God must have given me some endurance. I don't know how I handle that with all the sleep deprivation we had already had from our travel. But sometimes God's just asking to endure. He doesn't promise us primrose paths. He promises he'll be there. He's faithful to be there. He will see us through those difficult situations of illness. And Jody and I have seen that over these last few months, and I could tell you story after story. Praying, Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. If you don't have a prayer list, you need to get one, because you won't remember all the things you need to be praying for, and then follow up on them. I had a fifth note from a doctor that came and did media training here, asking me how Jody was doing, because he'd been praying for her. And he first found out about that 3 or 4 months ago. And I got the fifth note the other day. Well, how's she doing now? I knew he had been faithful in prayer. And other people, some people that I haven't known for years that have been praying for us because they heard through the grapevine. Intervening for others we meet or know is one of the great faithfulness that we can demonstrate to God. And then witnessing to God's faithfulness. Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the Lord, great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through the generations. We have the responsibility to witness to his faithfulness and tell other people about it. And a great opportunity in that way to witness. When God's done something good for you, let other people know, not just your Christian friends, but other people that you know, how faithful he has been. And then we're to be faithful to our spouse, our family, our friends, our calling, our witness. We've touched on a couple of those already. But Jody said something to me a month or so ago, you know, about the fact that I'd been taking care of her and it was a burden and all this kind of stuff. And I said, honey, I said, in sickness and in health. That's what it means. And opportunities, even though this has been a difficult time in our lives, the opportunity to show love and compassion and to be faithful to your spouse. And it's easy as we get older that, and you've got different interests, you're going different directions, that you can draw apart. And being faithful, being there, being the good husband, the godly wife, the godly husband, and doing what God wants you to do is part of our faithfulness, and it demonstrates to the world that Christ lives within us. To our family, we've had some opportunities to do that. We've got two of our son and daughter-in-law and two grandkids, and it's noisy, and I'm tripping over toys, and the kids interrupt me, grandkids interrupt me when I'm trying to get work done in the office. Finn is on a big cutting paper bench. So he comes into my office two or three times a day. Grandpa, can I cut some paper? And he wants to get the scissors and get the trash out of my... Well, he just turned four yesterday. You know, he's not good with scissors by himself. So I have to stop and hold the paper and keep those straight and don't cut Grandpa's hand. And yeah. But he's going to remember that. And we have some time together, whatever it is. Other things that we have the opportunity to do. Being faithful to our family, investing in our grandchildren, investing in that is so important, and be things that they remember forever. Investing in our friends. I had a call yesterday. I got out to start working on the flower garden, and a big job ahead, blowing leaves, and just got started, and all of a sudden the phone rang. And a name came up that I hadn't thought about in quite a while. It's named Ernie Doyle. And I'd actually written him a letter. He wrote me a note after Jody got sick and said he's praying. And I had taken time to write him. I met him when I was in high school, and my dad was preaching revival in his church in Florida. And Dad took me out for the weekend and went over there to be with him that weekend. And Ernie just and his wife just brought us in, loved on us. And we got on the phone, talked for 45 minutes yesterday. He had come over and helped us when we were building our house at Tenwick. Come over on a work team with my dad and helped build cabinets in our kitchen. And just walking down memory lane, and he's sharing how we had impacted his life, and I'm sharing how he impacted our lives through his prayers and support. Still supports us, started supporting us in 1980, and still sends gifts into our ministry account. Investing in friends. He's now 86, his wife is dead, living in assisted living, and still the joy of the Lord, and we just had a delightful time. But investing in people. You want to have more friends? Invest in more people. You want to have better friends? Invest in them, and they'll be there for you as well. Invest in our calling, we've talked about. I encourage you to be superb at what you do every day. Little things that you do as people call, or you write a note, or you get something done quickly and on time and well, impacts people's lives. And so easy to get busy with all the work and not think of the end product. How can I show God's faithfulness and be faithful to this person and in your witness? God's good, and our faithfulness is what He asks. And our rewards are based upon it when we get to heaven. When we stand before the throne as we've been faithful in all these areas, God will reward us. But Lord, that He'll reward you now with realizing you're serving Him. Let's pray as we close. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness, which is unlimited. And we've all experienced it. And many times we don't even know it's happening. That car that could have crashed into us, that illness that you spared us from. And you're so faithful. And when we have difficulties, you're there with us. Lord, I pray for each one of us here that we may be more faithful to you. Look at our lives and say, what more can I do to serve you better? What more can I do to let other people know that you live in my life? Lord, as we are faithful, we'll experience your blessings. Thank you for that. In your son's name, amen.